informative, and engaging. Rick Mudd. Rick Mudd on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. It's another chance to spread the truth. Imagine, if you will, a piece of bread. A piece of toast, a piece of bread, whatever you like. And imagine you're going to the fridge. From the fridge, you take out some butter or some margarine. Take a knife and you just load that knife up with butter and you just spread it all over the bread. That's what we're doing with the truth. The world is like a big piece of bread to us. And we've got that knife loaded up and we've got it loaded up with good, full fat dairy produce from a cow. Not some kind of methane spewing evil creature. No, a good old cow. And we're going to spread that truth left, right, up and down. We might even do both sides of the bread. I don't know. What am I talking about? I have no idea. These things flash into my head just before I go live. And I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth half the time. And I think that's why people tune in here. They're waiting for the inevitable car crash. And someday it's going to happen. Live and on air. This is TNT Radio.live. Download the app from the App Store for Apple and the Google Store for Android. Check out our website, TNT Radio Live. We've got an action-packed 3-hour show for you guys today. As always, to be honest, you know, it's action-packed every day, so why should today be any different? Later on, I'm joined by Cheryl Brusco. She's coming back from the wilderness. She's been wandering in the wastelands, social media wastelands, for a while now, but we're getting her back on the show in an hour's time. And to round things off, I have Jesse Zurawell again, my old chum from New Jersey. Before I usher in my first guest, I just want to look at a little tidbit or two that's hit the news over the weekend. And today, President Biden has given, in his words, I've got more good news. So in his words, he has more good news. 27.5 million bottles of safe infant formula manufactured by Bubs Australia are coming to the United States. We're doing everything in our power to get more formula on shelves as soon as possible. It's nice to know that as he's procuring safe, note, safe baby food for Americans, he's also sending out billions and billions of dollars of lethal aid in the form of arms and weaponry to Ukraine. So he's taking care of the babies on one hand, and he's pumping lethal aid into Ukraine with the other. What a guy. What a guy Joe Biden is. Guardian News tells me in Australia, this is for you guys, you Aussies, the cold snap has brought snow and bitter weather to southeast Australia. I believe it's snowing in southeast Australia right now. And imagine that, all this talk of global warming, all this talk of climate change, and there's snow in Australia. As I look out my window in Ireland, I'm seeing a black sky. It's not even grey, it is black. It's around 9 degrees Celsius here. I'm freezing my ass off. It's supposed to be our summertime. So yeah, that global warming's really hitting us all hard right now. But anyway, I digress. You're listening to Rick Mudd, Locked and Loaded on TNT Radio.
Checking off the boxes.
Established, reputable.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, I'm very happy to be joined again on my show. This is her second appearance, by none other than Elizabeth Hart. And you know what? I think she's raring to go. She's chomping at the bit here. I think there's a lot of stuff she wants to get clean off her chest. And you know what? We're going to give her the platform to do just that. Elizabeth has two websites that she runs. Number one is called vaccinationispolitical.net. That's all one word. And the other one is called over-vaccination.net. She has a degree majoring in politics and philosophy, also experience in scientific literature searching, assisted to research and lobbies on over vaccination. And she has a big passion for spreading the word about vaccines, vaccine mandates, vaccine injuries. She writes a lot, communicates with authorities on these subjects and with many, many MPs. And that's what I want to talk to her about today. So first of all, Elizabeth Hart, welcome back. Are you locked and are you loaded?
Locked and loaded, Rick.
Good. That's a good start to the show. I'm locked and loaded. You're locked and loaded. And a shout out, by the way, to Luke in the studio. These are the unsung heroes, these guys that sit in the studio pushing the buttons, connecting you to me and me to you and us to the world. They are the unsung heroes of TNT Radio. So Luke in the studio, looking very smart, by the way, very dapper. He's wearing a nice white shirt, unlike me. I look like I've just crawled out of a hedge backwards.
I can't see you, Luke.
Oh, you can't?
I don't know why. He does look very smart.
Just trust me, he looks better than I do. So let's leave it at that. But welcome back to the show anyway. The last time you and I spoke, we talked about various things. We were talking about mandates, coercion, right to informed consent on one thing and another. Since we last spoke, I want to look at some of the communications that you have been having with various MPs in past and present, and also with some experts for the like of Geert van de Bosch in terms of whether or not this is a viable vaccine rollout program, should it ever have happened. Okay. Now, tell me this. When you're communicating with MPs or you're communicating with people that have any kind of sway, what's the main point that you're trying to drive home to them, or what's the main reaction that you're trying to elicit from those people in a nutshell? What's the primary driver? What are you trying to accomplish from these communications?
Well, it's a big picture, really, Rick, challenging this vaccine rollout or injection rollout. It's really hitting me more and more, and I'm stunned, really, that this shouldn't have happened. I think it's happened around the whole world. There should not have been a vaccine rollout, full stop, to this COVID, because they knew from the beginning it wasn't affecting most people seriously. So why on earth have we ended up with this jab rollout? And now it's seeming like the people who had the jabs are the most likely to get sick. I mean, really? It's not a very good result, is it?
It's terrible. And dare I say that the people that it would appear to be that the people who have took the injection, whether they were coerced or whether they did it willingly or whether they did it blindly or whether it's just something that they wanted to do, it would appear to be that, you know, they're catching this repeatedly. I'm seeing more and more reports of people saying, I've had all my boosters, I've took my two jabs, I social distance, I wash my hands, I've worn my mask, but I'm coming down for the second time, I'm coming down for the third time with COVID. I'm starting to see a lot more of that in the media. And these are for people that are very pro-jab and very pro-vaccine. Why are they not connecting the dots, do you think? Or why are they looking everywhere but at the jab as a potential source of, you know, awakened immunity, for example? What's in their heads or what's not
in
their
heads? I don't know. I just think they just can't deal with it. I mean, in South Australia, there's a campaign at the moment. I mean, you couldn't make this up. The campaign is showing, it shows a doctor who's saying, you know, you're not properly jabbed unless you've got the three shots. Mm-hmm. And then they show two young people. There's a young woman, she's double jabbed, and then she gets the COVID badly in hospital. And the solution is now have your third jab. And then they show a young man, he was double jabbed, got the COVID, now apparently has long COVID. And they're saying, get your third shot. You're not fully vaccinated unless you have the third shot. And a lot of people are actually being pushed to have their fourth shot. So it's like some sort of black story. It just seems ridiculous. They have no clue what they're doing. They're just saying, have another shot. They haven't changed the composition of these injections. Just have another shot. It's crazy. And the most horrifying thing is children. You know, 5-year-old children now are being jabbed. What is going to happen with them if they've had three shots? What's the future for them? And they weren't even at risk. Their natural immune response was fine. I mean, this is a crime to be jabbing these children. I'm agog at what is happening. I don't know what's going to be the upshot of this, and particularly in Australia, because I think Australia's probably the worst country in the world because they've just gone completely mad here. They say there's over 95% of people. It was called fully vaccinated, but now it's not because they're only double, you know, that's double jabbed. But lots of third, you know, have had the third shot as well. But so many people have been jabbed under mandates. You know, this is a liberal democracy, and yet we've got mandated medical interventions. I'm really in horror with that. That should never have happened. To make people have these medical interventions to keep their jobs and in some states was to go to restaurants to do anything, you had to be jabbed. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it?
Yeah, the thing is too, I mean, they're mandating something that's still an experimental product as well. So it would be questionable enough to mandate something that was an actual proven clinical product with a long track record to say you must take this in order to perform your job. That's one thing. They extend it further to say you must take this in order to, for example, have a meal in a restaurant or go for a cup of coffee is insanity. But to do that with an experimental product on top of all that is just taking it to a next level. And I know there's various territories or states in Australia seem to be more, more fanatical about these mandates than others. So you have somewhere like Victoria under Dan Andrews or Western Australia under Mark McGowan. They are hell-bent on keeping the boosters as mandatory to maintain your vaccinated status to allow you to work. So I understand that in Victoria, recently there were a lot of teachers were not allowed to continue their jobs or school workers because they refused to take a third shot. They'd already taken two shots. They mandated a third in order to maintain their jobs. They refused. So there's a shortage of teaching staff and stress being placed in schools now in Victoria because of this insane enforcement of the booster shot. The same applies, I believe, in Western Australia under Mark McGowan, which crazily, in the elections last Saturday on the 21st, Labor increased their voting share in Western Australia, despite the probably the worst lockdowns in the world being imposed on them over the last 2 years. It just seems to be, again, I keep trying to piece this together in my head and understand people's mentalities, but I think people have just simply lost their minds. There's no other explanation for it. It's just pure insanity, if you ask me.
Well, I think Australians in particular have been really brainwashed here because the mainstream media is very much of the one voice. And the media has been paid millions of dollars to promote the jabs in advertisements and what have you. So it's conflicted. Mm-hmm. And they set their own mandates for their staff as well. I think it's also the location of Australia. We're a big island, and even though people can access the internet, I think they were looking at their local papers. Say the local paper here in Adelaide, it's Murdoch Media. And the papers here are just always beating up the COVID. And the general public just wouldn't know that advertiser is part of the Murdoch Media, which I mentioned it to you before, probably, that they're a corporate partner with the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, which is involved in vaccine research. So that should be disclosed as a conflict of interest. So this is what's happening. People are just being bombarded. It's relentless. It's been relentless, this beating up of the COVID. I think they've just been told blatant lies about how serious this is. It's mind-boggling to think that the government is your own enemy. The way they're pushing this, that they're determined that everybody has to have an injection, and the next thing now is that they're looking at the babies. 0 to 4 years now. They've got the 5-year-olds now. 0 to 4 years. It is absolutely not making any sense because the children were not vulnerable, and they could be damaging their natural immunity. And I'm going back to 2020. In March 2020, when this was really getting off the ground, I wrote to the British Medical Journal, wrote a rapid response on an article, and I was asking the question. I said, is it ethical to be impeding natural immunity? And it goes back to Neil Ferguson, Neil Ferguson, Imperial College London. They got this idea out that they had to suppress the virus and that the only solution was a vaccine. And we really have to go back now to the beginning and say, who decided on a vaccine solution? Because they knew this wasn't affecting most people at the beginning. So why was there a vaccine solution? We have to track this back now. Who sat round a table and decided on this? Because it looks like they just wanted to go for a vaccine solution and all these other things, surveillance and ID, digital ID and all these things they wanted to do. That was their goal. But the other thing to look back on is 2009 with swine flu. That was a debacle. It was recognised as a debacle at that time that they beat up the swine flu. There were millions of vaccines and Tamiflu and Relenza antivirals. That was well known as being a complete rot. And yet it's all happened again. It's incredible that what we're going through. This is the biggest scandal in history, and we've got to bring the perpetrators to account. People like Bill Gates, who's been running vaccination policy for the last 20 years, a software billionaire, and question, how has this been allowed to happen?
Well, you know, they do say follow the money. If you follow the money back to a certain point, you'll get your answers. Someone like Gates, who's, you know, one of the richest men in the world, who are funding so many different vaccine research companies, vaccine development companies, the World Health Organization, media outlets, buying up. He's the largest owner of farmland in America, as per right now. You know, why is he investing heavily in farmland? He makes no secret of the fact that he wants to grow genetically modified crops. And if you think about it, you know, you can't patent or put a trademark on a potato or a lettuce or an onion or a carrot. But if he comes up with some kind of genetically modified product, you know, you can bet your life that guy's driven by two things, in my humble opinion, by the love of money, greed and the love of money, and by power and control. And also he has this disturbing obsession with vaccinations and talks, links them inextricably to depopulating the planet, which is something else we could go into at another time, maybe. But he's a sinister individual. On your website, vaccinationispolitical.net, you know, you ask some questions. You're saying, you know, elected representatives, in inverted commas, are manipulated to impose highly questionable and inaccurate medical interventions on communities. And it is on communities. There's no one escaping this. It goes from the oldest to the youngest, to pregnant women, to the vulnerable, the clinically vulnerable, health compromised people. And they're being mandated for millions and millions of people. And as I read through your, you know, your site for a little refresher last night, which I encourage anyone listening to do, by the way, Elizabeth has a real body of work on vaccination is political, and all the correspondence that she writes to MPs and other medical professionals at the top of their field are all on there for your viewing and to download and to spread or to disseminate as you please. When I looked at what you talked about, you talk about masks in places, social distancing, hand sanitizing, lockdowns, injections, you know, all of these measures, not just the vaccines, but all of these measures, the masking has no basis in scientific fact, none. Social distancing, whenever they came up with this 2 meter rule, you know, believe it or not, when they actually decided on that, they just came up with that figure. They said, well, 6 feet is 2 meters. That's doable. 10 feet's a little bit too much. You know, 5 feet's a little bit too little. They literally came up with a figure of 6 feet. And that's why you see these 2 meter rules everywhere. That's what they thought was doable. Not because it has any basis in scientific fact. Hand sanitizing, you know, you're spraying your hands with chemicals, usually in a bottle with no ingredients on it. The supermarkets mix up these bottles of God knows what. They put them at the door and you have to spray them all over your hands and wipe them all over your hands as you go in. Lockdowns accomplished absolutely nothing. And the vaccines are accomplishing absolutely nothing. So it's one thing after the other. One thing after the other.
Yeah, well, now it's the flu vaccines. Flu vaccines particularly now. And it's been announced across Australia in all the states, free flu vaccines. Oh, they're free. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the taxpayer's going to be paying for these flu vaccines. It's incredible. We are just being held in a state of sickness or potential sickness the whole time. Instead of people just getting on with their lives, we've just got this non-stop barrage of, you know, frightening people. Instead of telling people to, you know, live healthily, go out and exercise, eat well, try and reduce stress, it's constantly this fear of sickness. And it's just beating up loads of millions of dollars for the vaccine companies. So I've written another letter today challenging this. You know, $5 million is going to be spent here in South Australia on these jabs. They're free for everybody. And I'm asking the question, what's the evidence that everybody needs a flu jab? But here's the thing. They feature in this the promotion for this, a doctor, a GP. The GP is recommending these jabs. And we find out that this GP is the chairman of the Immunisation Coalition. That sounds very, you know, impressive, doesn't it? But what they don't seem to want to tell people is that this Immunisation Coalition is funded by Pfizer and Moderna and CSL and GlaxoSmithKline and Merck. You know, this is what's going on. The vaccine industry is running the show. using these figureheads of these doctors and academics and what have you, you know, professor this and doctor that, to impress the public, you know, that you need these things. But they don't. They seem to be very reluctant to disclose that they're associated with the vaccine companies themselves. You know, so this is what's got to be exposed. This is a massive racket, and the population has been exploited. But not only that, this vaccine load, we've got no idea what this is doing to people. You know, if it's making people immunocompromised now, particularly children. Particularly, children are just getting such a vaccine load that the general public doesn't realise. Now, they're now being pushed to have flu vaccines every year. There's COVID jabs. There's got to be a stop. We've got to just yell out stop that this is the emergency. Forget COVID. The emergency is this never-ending barrage of medical products that's been pressed on people.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I mean, it's gone up exponentially when you think about, you know, what vaccination programs were in place, you know, 20 or 30 years ago versus what was in place 15 to 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago. The rate of jabs, or the rate of jabbing for children especially, is going up through the roof. What we'll do is we've got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to look at this business of conflicts of interest and how health is being weaponized against us, at least pseudo healthcare is being weaponized against us. You're listening to Elizabeth Hart from Adelaide, and I'm Rick Munn from Northern Ireland, TNT Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Jesse Zerowell is talking about.
I wholeheartedly stand behind that, and I've been really galled by the increasing rhetoric about how this is what's happening in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset agenda. And some people even going so far as to say that all of this is staged or phony or orchestrated. What I just read is your response to that, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because I think it needs to be addressed and put in its place.
It's being amplified by the media discourse, of course, Western media discourse, which are eliciting sympathy for Ukrainians because they're white, they're blue-eyed, they're blonde-haired, they look like us, they dress like us. I mean, this kind of language is actually being used, which is, I mean, it's racism.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Nearly every day, we hear dire predictions about climate change from the media establishment, Hollywood, and politicians. They tell us that the world is coming to an end because normal human activity is raising the temperature to dangerous levels. To avoid a hellish apocalypse, they warn us we must immediately change our lifestyles and our very way of life. But are these sensational claims based on solid empirical science? Do the facts line up with the hype? Well, an increasing number of scientists are becoming skeptical. We covered what many of these scientists had to say in our first groundbreaking film, Climate Hustle. From overhyped claims about severe weather events, temperatures, rising sea levels, and even disappearing polar bears, Climate Hustle peeled back the hype and looked at the facts, facts that simply don't add up to any reason for alarm. So this begs the questions. Why would those claiming a global warming catastrophe spread a false narrative? What would motivate them? Why would they try to hustle you? Are they trying to control the climate or you? Well, those are the questions we're going to explore in this film. And the answers may shock you. Order your DVD, Blu-ray, or digital copy today of Climate Hustle 2.
To find out more, go to climatehustle2.com.
Interview conducted at 10:15, present are Sergeant Jones, PC Clough, Mr. Wall, an uninsulated cavity wall, and his solicitor, Mr. Bent. Do you understand the charges?
I shall be speaking for Mr. Wall on account of him being a pile of bricks.
Right, you're accused of wasting energy, Mr. Wall, and we've got concrete evidence. We know that unfilled cavity walls are responsible for up to a third of all home energy wastage.
We also believe you're involved in a fencing operation.
We're going to throw the book at you.
Okay. Mr. Wall would like to say, ouch.
It's criminal to waste energy. To find out how to save up to 25% off your heating bills, visit saveenergy.co.uk or call 0845 727 7200.
This is today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
TNT.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Hart this morning. This is her second time on Locked and Loaded on TNT Radio. covering various issues in and around this business of vaccines. You know, these are things you may have heard before, but we're trying to make sense of the insanity, let me just say, the masking business, the social distancing, the hand sanitizing, the lockdowns, the injections, now the rollout of so-called free flu jabs, which won't be free, of course. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Someone's going to pay for it somewhere, and the money will either be printed, which will drive up inflation even higher and tank your economy even faster, or it will be taken from the taxpayers' coffers, which you're ultimately stumping up for these free injections. Now, conflict of interest, Elizabeth, is something that seems to be just completely ignored these days. You know, you have a vested interest in a business, and then that business, for example, gets government contracts that you enabled them to get through your connections to make money for you and your business partners, etc. You know, I worked for 11 years in the civil service. I had to disclose every year if I had a conflict of interest, any interest that would conflict with the job that I was doing, the decisions that I were making, and any supplement to my pay that would come as a result of that. It seems to be that doesn't really apply so much in medical terms these days with doctors, scientists, politicians, or media people, or big pharma themselves. They can just seem to connect internet or network however they please, and make as much money as humanly possible, and to hell with actual real science. It's all about the science. Why is there not any pushing for people to dig deeper when it comes to conflicts of interest? Is it simply because the media's bought?
Media, well, again, in Australia, because the media is so bad here, because it is so conflicted, the media itself is like part of the story. You know, in a liberal democracy, you'd have to have, you know, you need a fourth estate, which would be an independent media that would shine a light in dark places of government. We haven't got that here because the media is corporate media. So it's promoting its own interests. So, the biggest example is this Murdoch media. You've got Murdoch media. It's the Times, yep, in the UK. And here we've got the Australian, and we've got the tabloids. And it's News Corp Australia. And News Corp Australia is a corporate partner with the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, which is involved in vaccine research, including COVID-19 vaccine research with the Doherty Institute. And it was the Doherty Institute that put us into lockdown in March 2020, based and influenced by the Neil Ferguson report. So you see these networks, you see how it spreads out. But when you've actually got the media has got a vested interest in this very subject, how is it going to report the news? It's controlling the narrative. And so we're not getting analysis of what's going on. You know, and that's one thing. And then we've got another media organisation, Nine Entertainment. That's The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. Well, the chairman of that is Peter Costello. He's a former coalition treasurer, but he's also the chair of the Future Fund, which is heavily invested in pharmaceutical companies. So, again, that's a conflict of interest that could be, you know, in impairing the editorial direction of Nine Entertainment. So this is what we've got. So then where would you look next? You'd look to your taxpayer-funded broadcaster. You've got the BBC, we've got the ABC, and yet they are absolutely appalling. They've been just like propaganda for the government because the government holds the purse strings for these organisations. So, you know, the ABC should have been, you know, current affairs programmes, they should have been looking into this. But instead, it's just that they're getting free advertising on the news. This is an incredible medical product that not only just with ordinary source of advertising, but then the actual news service is pushing this product. You couldn't make up how fortunate the pharmaceutical companies are to have this. And then the pharmaceutical companies are now pushing a product which is a failure. You know, if you bought a car that stopped in 12 months, it didn't work anymore, you'd be complaining and saying, "Oh, that replaced." But no, with these jabs, it's a fantastic deal for them. It doesn't work, so I'll have another one. And it it might injure people, but who cares? It's a really, you know, such a difficult situation to deal with when you've got nowhere to turn. Everything just seems to be corrupted.
The analogy of the car, by the way, is a good one. I mean, let me take that one a step further. It's not even a case if you buy a car and in 12 months it stops working. It's more like you could buy a car and potentially the brakes could fail after, you know, 2 months. You career off the road into a ditch, you break your legs and your family is killed.
That's right.
That's potentially it. And you go back to the dealer I'd say, excuse me, I've lost my family and I can't walk anymore as a result of the product that you sold me. And the dealer just looking at you and say, well, that's not my problem. I have indemnity because the car manufacturer has got, you know, they're given government indemnity. They have no callback and no comeback. You have no comeback to them as the manufacturer. And you don't have any comeback to me because I'm simply doing what I was told. I'm simply selling the product that was put in front of me to sell. And the business of compromise media, I will say this, and this is a blowing the trumpet of TNT, and it needs to be blown. We are running now since January as an independent 24/7 talk radio station. And there are very few places out there that are prepared, for example, to give me a voice as a presenter, who would give you a voice as a guest, to be able to speak freely the things that you're speaking to me right now, as an alternate to the incessant bombardment from the mainstream media of everything that would be against what you've just said. And we're starting to get some flack, which is good, by some mainstream media outlets. There was an award ceremony. We're looking to sponsor the Kennedy Journalism Awards, and there has been a lot of saber rattling and people throwing their toys out of the pram when they heard the TNT radio, which is branded as an alternative right wing lunatic media station, you know, with questionable narrative on the Ukraine conflict and COVID vaccine mandates. God forbid we should challenge what the government has said with actual factual scientific information that makes us unworkable with. So people are talking, some sponsors are talking about pulling out of that, because we're involved in it. And you know what? It's good that their cages are being rattled. And we make no apologies for the things that we say. Anything that you're saying is scientifically backed up with proof. You're talking to, you're corresponding with people who don't even have the courtesy to write back to you, you know, to MPs that don't write back to you, to medical professionals that don't even acknowledge the correspondence that you send to them. Not even to say, Elizabeth, you're crazy. Stop bothering me. Leave me alone. They don't even have the decency to say that. I mean, like, so it's nice to have
well, they
this
can't
platform.
Really respond, can they? You know, I've written to the chair of the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, challenging him on why they jabbing children. I mean, because what can he say? Because it's just not defensible. You know, they can't defend it really, and it's somehow going to come out. Why are they doing it? It does not make any sense. They even admit in their own paperwork that the children aren't at risk. But one of the reasons why they suggest that they're going to jab the children is to protect other people. That is just totally unacceptable. You can't jab children to protect other people. And this was actually said, this was actually brought up in 2020. Again, this was another rapid response I had published on the British Medical Journal, in which I asked, is it ethical to vaccinate children to protect the elderly? And I was quoting The Guardian. It was reported in The Guardian. Professor Peter Openshaw from Imperial College London, they were presenting at some sort of House of Lords Science and Technology meeting, and they were admitting then this is what the Guardian article said: a vaccine against COVID-19 may not work well in older people who are most at risk of becoming seriously ill and dying from the disease, and this may mean immunizing others around them, such as children. I mean, hello, that is incredible. They were already planning this. They already knew that these vaccines weren't going to work in old people. And they already planned that they were going to jab the children instead. And they also admit in this, they admit that they jab children for flu to protect the elderly. So they're putting the young people at risk with their own natural effective immunity. That's been put at risk to protect the elderly. I mean, hello. I mean, where's the ethics committee discussing this? The ethics doesn't seem to exist in vaccines. It's incredible that we've got to blow this out of the water and say, you've just been getting away with blue murder. You're just loading these kids up with injections, and we've got no idea what it's going to be doing to their autoimmune diseases are popping up, diabetes, all of these sorts of things. Is that because of all these jabs that are impressed upon people?
Mm-hmm. And look at. I mean, myocarditis is something that no one knew what it was 12 months ago. Pericarditis, nobody knew anything about it. But all of a sudden, there's a lot of children coming down with it. Defibrillators are being installed in schools. Now, in Northern Ireland, where I live, you know, in some public places, you would have a defibrillator in case someone took a heart attack. It was something that was easily accessible and you could use until maybe a paramedic came along to stabilize someone. Got them to hospital. Now they're being rolled out into schools. And I mean, like, I don't know about you, but I can cast my mind back to my school days between, you know, what, 1978 and 1992, you know, 15, 16, 17 years. I don't remember any kids taking heart attacks, strokes, hepatitis, or anything like that. One kid got hit by a car and died. Some other kid I remember in primary school, he was very ill from he was born and died young, but that was it. I mean, like, did you have a lot of heart attacks, school friends dropping dead with strokes when you were a kid? No. Or is it just me? Is it just really me or what?
Are they really putting defibrillators in schools now?
Yes. Yes. In the UK, I mean, in Northern Ireland.
These articles are popping up saying, you know, that, they're making up these excuses as to why people could be having heart problems. It's just bizarre. And I mean, and as you know, I mean, I had some correspondence with Geert Van den Bosch recently, and probably listeners will know who Geert Van den Bosch is. You know, but in the correspondence, he was sort of saying to me that, you know, previous natural pandemics came to an end within 6 to 12 months. So if they had just let this thing run as was planned in the first place without these jabs, this whole thing could have been just done and dusted by now. Instead of which, we've got this never-ending story of jabs every few months, and these things could be making people sick. It's you know, how do we get this really blown out of the water? It is a massive scandal, and it's damaging society. And we just cannot bear this. Every day we wake up with COVID and about sickness and now flu jabs. It's just not the way society should be. This constant promotion of sickness all the time. We're made to feel like we're sick all the time.
I'm sad to say this, but I think the only thing that is going to jolt people to a realization of what's happening or what has been done is you're starting to see more and more reports on a daily basis of higher profile people that have suddenly died. Their wives have suddenly died. Some of their children have suddenly died. People that are in the public eye are starting to die more often, more frequently, and younger. And I believe that as this thing takes hold in people's bodies, you'll start to see an increased reporting of adverse reactions, especially in the younger age groups. There was a marathon in America last week. It might have been the Boston Marathon or a half marathon, but someone died crossing the finishing line, and another 16 people were hospitalized with heart problems when they were running the race. So this is by nature a distance race. You should be, or most people would be, in reasonable physical condition to be able to run a 13.1 mile race, but yet we have 16 people hospitalized with heart conditions and one person dropped dead as they crossed the finishing line. And that was just last week in America. How much worse will these reports be in 6 months to 12 months time as this beds down and roots down even further? I don't know. I mean, like, in schools, when I spoke about the defibrillators, there's also some schools are not allowing their kids to do sports until they've had a health check beforehand to make sure that their heart's stable, to make sure that they don't have any arrhythmia in their heart. Like, these are teenagers, 15, 16-year-old boys playing rugby and football. Again, I was never tested. I was a fat kid, so, you know, I didn't run around too much when I was younger. I sat on the sofa and had donuts. But, you know, that was another health issue. These days, it's safer to be fat and sedentary, it seems, than to be active and healthy post-jab, because when you get up and you start running around and that heart rate of yours goes all over the place, or these clots begin to form, it can be game over. But we're going to take one more quick break before we run into the close here. Don't go away, listeners. I'm hoping there's more than one of you out there. This is TNT Radio. This is Elizabeth Hart. I'm Rick Munn. We'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The Alabama Senate Republican primary on the 24th of May saw Katie Britt score 45% of the vote and Mo Brooks 29%. Alabama is one of 10 states which employs a runoff election if the leading candidate receives less than 50% of the vote. In this case, Katie Britt and Mo Brooks, being the two top vote-getters, will face a runoff election for the 21st of June. It will be an important one to watch, as Katie Britt has notably criticised Congress for its $40 billion package to assist Ukraine. She has cautioned against flexing US military muscle with no end goal or resolution in mind. Mo Brooks, on the other hand, has taken a hard-line anti-Russia position and has actively supported Finland and Sweden's applications to join NATO. Backing Russia into a corner threatens nuclear war, so a defeat of Brooks in the runoff election should be welcome. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, veterans strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
For decades, senior government and intergovernmental organization officials have peddled fear with climate change alarmism. In June 1989, Noel Brown, director of the New York Office of the United Nations Environment Program, said that governments had a 10-year opportunity to arrest the greenhouse effect before it went beyond human control. He claimed that entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the warming trend was not stabilized by the year 2000. In reality, global carbon dioxide emissions from fossil fuels and industry were 62% higher in 2021 than in 1989, and sea level has barely changed.
If you want the jibby jab, all right, enough, then you've come to the wrong station. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, no jibby jabs here. You know, what a horrible expression as well to call it the jibby jab. You know, that was born out of censorship on social media. You know, it got so bad you couldn't actually say COVID vaccine, so you had to come up with an alternative handle, which was the jibby jab or the, you know, lethal injection is what I call it, or the poison shot. Call it what you like. You mentioned already that you were in correspondence with Geert Vandenbosch, something that he had said in reply to your correspondence. I just want to quote him here. He said, "Stupidity and arrogance will prevail as long as we don't enforce by law debate mandates instead of vaccine mandates." So I'm going to read that again. "Stupidity and arrogance will prevail," which is what we're seeing. Let's be honest. Stupidity and arrogance have prevailed for the last 2+ years now. We're heading towards 2.5 years. "As long as we don't enforce debate mandates instead of vaccine mandates." So why have we not seen a single publicized, broadcasted debate on air, either between someone who's very, very pro-vaccine politically and somebody who's anti-vaccine politically, or medical professionals, these so-called chief health officers for the territories and the states? Why have we not seen them standing on a stage and, for example, inviting you along and saying, "Okay, Elizabeth, we think you're crazy. We think you're talking rubbish. We think you're misleading people. You're spreading misinformation. You're spreading disinformation. What you're saying could be costing Australians' lives." If I was right, Elizabeth, I would be rushing to get you onto a stage. I would be rushing to get you on air to make you look like a fool, to make you look like a crackpot, and to make you look like a dangerous individual. But of course, that hasn't happened, because we know that what we're saying is factually and correct and true, and these people can't handle it, and they don't have any comeback for the truth, because you can tell a billion lies, but a billion lies cannot overcome a single truth. Is this the reason why we're being effectively silenced and sidelined?
Well, this has been constructed for a long time. They have deliberately done this to silence people. So you've got this, the anti-vaxxer, that's the label that people get tagged with. You're an anti-vaxxer. So we're talking about a medical product here. And this isn't just a therapeutic product that you're taking. You know, if somebody was ill, and they're taking a medical product or having an operation, you would expect to, you know, you give informed consent, and you might need that medical intervention. But here we've got vaccines that might not be needed for most people. Most people could probably deal with the disease themselves. So, but here we have this medical product, but it's been treated as if you can't talk about it. And if you dare to speak about it, you're going to be ridiculed and sidelined. This is what we have to turn around now and say, how did this happen? Who put this in place, this anti-vaxxer thing? Because it has been constructed. So you've got an organization called the Center for Countering Digital Hate. Have you heard of that organization?
Not yet. I haven't had the good fortune of hearing about them.
You want to look this organization up. And this is all about shutting down. You know, the Center for Countering Digital Hate counters hate and disinformation by disrupting the online architecture, enabling its rapid worldwide growth. So this organization is all about shutting down people who dare to challenge what powerful people don't want to have out there. So this is, we've got to start investigating this organization now. And who funds this organization? The Center for Countering Digital Hate is a not-for-profit, non-governmental organization that is funded by philanthropic trusts and members of the public. Mm-hmm. So philanthropic trusts, I wonder who that could be. So I've written to them asking who funds them. Guess what? No response.
No response.
They won't answer. Yeah. And the chair of the board is somebody called Simon Clark. I was looking this up today, actually, and he's a resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Digital Forensic Lab based in Washington. I started looking into that organization. And they, again, it's all these networks, all these connections. It's with all these big corporations. And this, they're running the show and they are silencing the people. They are monstering the people with this sort of stuff. Another organization is the Vaccine Confidence Project. And that's all about countering vaccine hesitancy. And the person who's director of that is Heidi Larson. And this Heidi Larson, she made quite a stunning statement at a WHO Global Vaccine Safety Summit in 2019, just before COVID, actually. And in her plenary lecture, she said, "We've shifted the human population to dependency on vaccine-induced immunity. We're in a very fragile state now. We have developed a world that is dependent on vaccinations." So that's quite a stunning statement, you know, to say that, because we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be making people dependent on vaccines. But here's the thing with COVID, vaccine-induced immunity, well, it's not a vaccine and we haven't got immunity. So it's the worst possible case that people have been given a rubbish product which might actually have interfered and disrupted people's natural immunity. So that makes the state very, very serious indeed. So what we should be having is a big emergency meeting about this onslaught of vaccines, that this is the emergency, not COVID. It's this onslaught of never-ending jabs, and it's the children who are absolutely copping this load now. Who, you know, these older people who were petrified of COVID, fair enough if they have the jabs, if you're in your 70s, go for it. But if you're a baby and you're being set up to have these jabs potentially for life every few months, this is what's incredible, that people haven't spoken out about this, that they haven't talked about this, about just the cost of it, to be jabbing, you know, billions of people every few months. It's just not feasible. But it's like this thing just started and they didn't really think about it. And now we've got this just crazy situation. You know, in Australia, there's an organisation called the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee. And this organisation is supposed to evaluate what goes on the taxpayer-funded schedule, including vaccines. Well, this organisation seems to have been sidelined now. You know, they were like the final arbiter of what would go on the schedule. And they've knocked back a vaccine in the past because it didn't provide herd immunity. They knocked back the meningococcal B vaccine. So you think if this had gone through the proper processes, this couldn't have happened. This shouldn't have happened because it's just not financially effective. It's like it's bypassed all these checks and balances, and it's just gone completely berserk now. And the Morrison government, you know, Morrison, as you probably know, got booted out in the last election. But they have signed up for 280 million jabs. So they've got this 280 million jabs they want to push on a population of 26 million. Okay. It's like they've paid for these things now, and it's like they've just locked in, and they're just going to make everybody have them, regardless of whether they need them or not, and regardless of whether it's going to cause a lot of damage.
It's that works out at approximately 10 shots per Aussie, you know, which is insane. And if you actually factor in the, you know, the vaccine hesitant, which is probably, you know, they claim there's 95% take up. I do believe they wildly exaggerate those figures north. It could be 80%, it could be 90%, whatever. If you factor out the people that won't take the jab and certainly won't take 10 shots, if you further subdivide that through the population, it probably works out at 11 to 12 shots per willing recipient or coerced recipient. And again, that is the mentality. It's like, well, we've bought this. We don't want to throw it away. We want to use it. It's like, you know, when you were a kid, you know, my mom used to make me clean the plate. You know, if there was an extra potato on there, an extra piece of broccoli, and I didn't want to eat it, she says, "You're eating it. We're not throwing that out." It's like, well, I'm not hungry anymore. I'm stuffed. It's like, you're eating it. You're not getting up until you've had your dinner. It's almost the same thing. It's like, we've got these vaccines and you're not getting your life back until you've all had your 10 to 12 shots.
But don't forget, we've got the mandates here. You haven't got them in England. So, I mean, I know in England, people were really pressured, and Northern Ireland and what have you, that people were really pressured to have the jabs, and a lot of people had the jabs. Probably not as many as they said, but a lot of people had them. But over there, you weren't actually mandated to have them to keep your job. Australia... This is why I say I'm horrified at what has happened to Australia, that this has happened. Mandated medical interventions. Mm-hmm. That is such a hot political issue that has just been allowed to happen here. I can't believe it. So it's highly possible that there is a very high jab rate here, because simply people just had to have them to keep their jobs. I mean, a lot of it, some people, you know, did leave their jobs, but people have to work. So this is how they lock people in. And in the UK, Northern Ireland, you're probably finding there's not as big a take up for the third jab. No. But here, there are a lot of people, you know, these state government mandates, they're being mandated to have the third shot. So this is what I'm feeling, that this is going to erupt into a massive scandal, because people have been coerced to take these medical interventions. They've been denied informed consent. And I think the doctors are in such trouble about this, because the doctors are behind pushing these jabs as well. You know, you've got the president of the Australian Medical Association. He's full on rah, 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 pushing these jabs. He's a knee doctor. What does he know about these things? And yet he's out there pushing these things. He's effectively denying people the right to inform consent. They have just gone completely crazy here in pushing these injections and just overriding people's rights, roughshod. And you've got the scientific and medical establishment, the politicians, the media, all behind this. And I think we're going to look back on this as one of the most shocking events in Australian history. You know, they created discrimination. Families have been split and friendships have been broken, because so many people have bought into the whole narrative, because it's just been so relentless. And then the people who haven't, it's caused this friction. And then you've actually got the society cutting out people who won't comply. So it's they're really pushing people to comply. So it's not just about the jab. It's this whole control thing. Then if you won't comply, you will be edged out of society. Wow.
Segregated. You know? I mean, like even Andrews famously said in one of his press conferences, he said, you know, we want to have a vaccinated economy and an unvaccinated economy. Effectively, if you haven't rolled up your sleeve, you're going to be shut out of the big economy, which is the vaccinated economy. Just to summarize up, we've only got a few minutes left. Another few things that came from your correspondence with Geert van de Bosch. He had basically said, he took the stand and said, you know, there should not have been a global mass population vaccine response to COVID-19. And another correspondence that you had with Karen Price, who is the president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, or the RACGP. You know, you asked her the question, why are kids being injected with novel mRNA pharmaceutical products? Has proper consent actually been sought or given informed consent, been given before these procedures were rolled out. And again, no response. And let me say, I've read Elizabeth's emails. They're on her website, vaccinationispolitical.net. She's not rude. You know, she's not writing expletive-filled tirades and rants to these people. They're very eloquent and very well-structured and very well-referenced communication. Because, you know, when you don't get a response from someone, you do sometimes say, maybe I was a little bit rude or maybe I was a little bit full-on. But let me tell you, she's not. And I encourage you to go and check that out for yourself on vaccinationspolitical.net and also over-vaccination.net. That's where you'll find Elizabeth's output. Listen, we have just came up to time here. Believe it or not, the hour has flown away. I really want to appreciate you taking time out to come back on and speak with me again so openly and so passionately about what you believe in. And thank you for enabling us and assisting us
Luke.
To spread
thank
truth.
You both.
Yes, and Luke as well. He's a good guy. He's one of the best. So listen, Elizabeth Hart, thank you very much. Listeners, don't even think about going anywhere else. We have some more star guests coming up for the remainder of the show. But for now, Elizabeth, have a lovely night and hopefully we'll speak again soon. I'm Rick Munn, TNT Radio. We'll be right back after the news.